today specific instructions for our grandmother's prayer initiative. Also, a great report about an old friend and a great report of the Word of God from an old friend you'll want to hear. Now be sure to stay to the very end so that you can hear the offer and the blessing. I've got a new thing going on. It's going to rescue a lot of kids. I know you're going to want to hear about it. So I know when the music starts, it's tempting to click off, but stay to the end, okay? Welcome back, everybody. I'm going to talk today about my grandmother's prayer army initiative. But I have some good news to tell you. You know, we say often in the United States, oh, you won't believe what happened. Well, I hope you do believe what happened. Amazing. Wonderful. So I went to somebody else's meeting last night, you know, an old friend, and went to her meeting. And there was a guest speaker. And I didn't even realize it. So first we had, you know, chat and potluck dinner. And a young man came in and was greeted as Simon. And he didn't say too much. He seemed like an interesting fellow. And we sat at the table. And I was talking with another guest. But later on I realized that this is a very interesting man. So I was just quiet. I was trying to listen to him. He didn't say too much. But when the meeting started, he was the speaker. And I didn't realize till this morning when I checked on LinkedIn, this is Simon Okwayo. Simon Okwayo, who was on my broadcast back in the first summer that we were broadcasting from the radio station. And this morning I woke up and I said, I wonder what Simon's last name is. He is so much like Simon Okwayo. I wonder if he is the son. So I checked on LinkedIn. No, I think this is Simon Okwayo. He just looks that much younger than he did 15 years ago. Praise God. So if you remember, he spoke on the radio show about his youth, what he did as a child in Africa and the miracles he saw. He just went off with some other boys and started praying for people. His father had to come find him. Well, he has 33 churches in Kenya today. He works in the slums. He feels like he's been called more to the slums than to the more sophisticated city. And he had just arrived in the United States yesterday morning. And he said he arrived feeling like weeping over our nation and how we have neglected our children, how we have forgotten the children. And he spoke so encouragingly, inspiringly. He said, God is raising up a rare breed. And he had us read in first part of Judges how the generation that knew Moses, the generation of Joshua, passed, and another generation rose, and they did not remember, they did not know personally the power of God, like the generation who came with Joshua. And clearly that was about today. And yet it was an inspiring message. I would take pointers from this fellow. And it struck me how yesterday morning I recorded the call for grandmothers to rise up as an army in prayer and to commit to 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day to do three things. One, to repent for the how we've stepped away from Scripture. Often for us it was small steps, but we see that that trajectory has gone to giant steps and miles, okay, in the current generation. So let us repent for the small steps and adhere more closely to Scripture. That's one. Two is to pray for our progeny and for the children, other children of the nation. And the third is to listen to God for what to do, for our assignments in this regard. Now, I was so struck that what Apostle Okwayo was saying was in fact a confirmatory word. Now, in Africa, generally, it is my understanding, generally, that they have a culture of adopting children who are without parents. So aunts and uncles will, as a matter of course, take in children who are orphans, for instance, from AIDS. Now, it turns out that at this time, Apostle Okwayo is also starting orphanages. So I don't know if Kenya is so much more advanced that it's more like the Western countries in this, or if this is, you know, if this is changed because of modernization, or if this is not true for all African cultures. But anyway, generally, I think the Africans, more than the Westerners, will take in children as their own and rear them when they're orphans. And I think we need to adopt this. We need to adopt this as part of our culture. In our culture, we can look back now for three or four generations and see that the devil has tricked us to reduce our fertility dramatically. Most of us did not have the children that we would have liked to have had. Most of us. My mother's generation, the World War II generation, she was proud that she only had two children, whereas her mother had had five and perhaps would have had more had she been amply supplied or more healthy. But my mother had planned and worked to have two. I would have had more, but circumstances didn't permit. And I think that part of those circumstances was that I had been taught very strongly that a professional career was superior to mothering, even though I never thought mothering was less than. I never said that. But nevertheless, my whole atmosphere, the whole atmosphere that I was reared in, pointed that way. And we see that the millennials and younger are often choosing not to get married and not to have children. And I don't know, there's still this lie that there's too many people on the earth. That, so scientifically, numerically, that's nonsense. It's nonsense. We do not have too many people on the planet, and we never will, because as societies mature in technology, they tend to reduce their fertility. So we may need to do some science and technology around having cleaner energy, but we have already controlled our fertility, and there are not too many people on the planet. I taught from one sociology textbook that said, and this was like 10 years ago, that if we put every person in a single family home, they would all fit in West Texas alone. We don't have an overpopulation problem. Satan, and I think it's very clear given what has happened in the past 3 years, Satan has been attacking the children. And I've said this before, you know, every time there is a great move of God, Satan attacks the children. Was Moses, was Jesus, okay, and today. So we expect Jesus to come back, and we expect maturity in the body of Christ. So rather than merely regretting the fact that we have been tricked and duped into not having the children that we wanted, let us then open our arms to other children. First off, to those in our extended family. Why, in this nation, which is still majority Christian, why do we have so many children in CPS? First off, we need to take in our cousins and our grandchildren. We need to take in our cousins. So bless you to all those grandmothers who have taken in their grandchildren. And usually it's not because the children are orphaned so much as the parents are on drugs. But we also need to do this for our nieces, our nephews, and our cousins. And thank you and hallelujah to those who are making it a ministry to adopt children. I know it's very difficult, but some churches are investing in that as a mission, and hallelujah, because those churches are the very churches that teach in a way that will help parents be good parents. And so many of these people who've been duped into, shall we say, postmodern thinking, who are therefore not having children, well, that's actually good in it, as far as it goes, because they wouldn't be good parents. So thank you to those churches that are making it a ministry and therefore helping those who are doing it. But I do know that it has been heartbreaking, because the children come damaged, and often the children blame the adoptive parents rather than CPS for the separation. So possibly maybe they should be blaming their own parents. But if it were the family, I think it would be a little better. And I like the verbiage. I heard a CPS, a social worker, say, when your parents finish their homework, then they can have you back. So, yeah, hopefully they can get their lives together. But again, I think in the church, there's a higher likelihood. I think that the church, you know, the rescue of Jesus and the story and the Christian theology tells, and the community that a congregation can provide, is exactly what's needed, and not the government plans that are really based on money and bureaucracy. Yes, we need to invest in the children. And thank you so much for Apostle Simon Okwayo's word on this. Of course, these details were mine and not his. I am critiquing my own cultural and governmental situation, and he, of course, wouldn't have been so impolite. He was so sweet and so inspiring. I kind of wonder if the crowd heard him. First, I wondered, so he was saying, where are the children? Where are the children? We need to not forget about them. And I think what he was saying is, why are there not children in this room? If it's a church meeting, why have you left your children at home watching television or playing with their phones? And even in church, people, kids are playing with their phones, as I talked about last episode. But then I looked around the room, and fully half of the people in that room were over 50, and so they may not live in the same town as their children. And the younger ones, I don't know, do they have kids? I don't even know. And so I don't know if he pulled his punch because he realized that too, or if he pulled his punch because he didn't want to bring too harsh of a corrective word. But it is a good thought. Why are the kids not truly involved in the Christian stuff that we're doing? And Becky Fisher has talked about that. Why are we leaving the kids in the basement with the story about Noah's Ark and some secular movies when they could be in with the adults hearing God and seeing miracles? Yes. So we need a dramatic change. And we need to have truly trained and anointed people to be in the children's department and not just some sweet women. Do you realize I had an ancestor. His name was Club Axe Davis. And he said he didn't do any fine work. That's why it was a club axe. Okay. So in the 1800s, that would have made sense to you. A club axe is an axe that you, after you fell the tree, the club axe you use to take the bark off. So he was an evangelist. He would tell people, I'm pretty sure he would tell people to get saved and stop sinning. But he was opposed to the Sunday school movement. Do you understand? The Sunday school movement came around about 1900s or so. And he said the children's religious education shouldn't be consigned to a bunch of silly women. Well, I agree. Shouldn't be consigned to silly women. But he was pointing out that segregating the children and giving them poorer leadership was not a good idea. So, yes, the Sunday school movement was intended to be an evangelistic movement. And if you had been in the cities in 1880 or 1890 or 1900, you might have seen it differently. You saw immigrant children who were in the streets on Sunday morning. And so you'd want to invite them into a Sunday school program because they might not have been in school because there wasn't mandatory public school at that point. So, in fact, it was church women who, in New York specifically, Anna Garland Spencer, who campaigned for mandatory public school, thinking that this would free the children from working. And there was some pushback from the farmers. But anyway, you see, there's a difference there. But the point here is that we should invest in children's programs and not segregate them and not relegate them to lower budgets, etc. I can tell you the number of churches in the denomination where I was trained that they had all kinds of money for the parlor, but you went to the Sunday school rooms and it looked like 20 years before. Actually, the big churches, the mega churches, you walk in there in their Sunday school and it looks pretty super fabulous. But how much depth? What do the kids get? Okay, so Simon Aquayo brought a corrective word, an inspiring word, a confirmatory word. And then the response of the group was, well, tell us about all your work in Kenya and be sure and give some money and let's pray for him. So the response was like the response of a missionary, which is good as far as it goes, but I'm not sure anybody really heard the corrective word. We need to think about the children. So I want to amplify that. And I think maybe I'll put up the old episode from Simon Aquayo telling his testimony, because that also amplifies, let's don't forget the children. As he was a child, he was reared in such a way, he went out and started fulfilling his destiny when he was a teenager and, you know, spreading the gospel. He says that he can leave Kenya and he knows his work will go on because he trained his children. One son is doing this, it's the broadcast, and the another son is doing the other, and his wife is sitting with the pastors, and he knows the work is going on. The pastors he's over, right, because he founded 33 churches in Kenya alone. And he said his younger children will say, oh, look, Daddy, Mommy, are we still in the faith or are we backslidden? It's been 2 weeks since we have gone out witnessing. Are we still Christians? So the children will keep us on our toes if they are properly reared, properly trained, properly educated. Hallelujah. It is up to the parents to do that. And we've said many, many times, we American clergy have said many times, we can't do in an hour on Sunday or 2 hours on Sunday what is not being done in the home. But I think that what should be done in the home hasn't been done for so many generations that loses its punch because parents yet don't have any idea. So first off, we have to be a Christian before we can teach how to be a Christian. Let's be a Christian. So this is why I have called Grandmother Prayer Army. I'm asking you to set your timer to pray for 10 minutes a day. Start out with repenting for how you have stepped away from the Bible ever so slightly in your younger days. Sure, ask for a course correction if that comes up. Pray specifically for your progeny and for, you know, the other children, perhaps the children that they go to school with, that they play with, etc., and for the children of the nation and the children of the world. And then listen to God. If you want to add to it your private prayer language or some music, hallelujah, make a good time of it. Set in a beautiful place, your prayer place, and set it up. I was thinking about that as I was sitting in the room and noticing the beautiful artwork in the, it was a living room where Apostle Okwayo was speaking yesterday. So make it a good time. Commit for starting out with 2 weeks and listen for the assignment. And in 2 weeks, I hope that we will have the next step. Okay? What should we as grandmothers do to turn this around? Because if you've noticed, we're in deep trouble. Our nation has been taken over. The education system is now teaching porn. The kids are unhealthy and unable. And if there were soldiers in our streets, we'd be in deep, deep trouble. Because can we even organize ourselves? Do we even have the stamina and the brains to fight what the problem is? Well, good news. We have some left. We have embers that we can stir up. Yes, last night it was reported that here in this state, I happen to be in Texas, we voted just now to ban sexual mutilation of minors. There were plenty of people who were protesting on the other side, and the gentleman who was there wanted to tell us all about the woman who was a witch and who dressed all witchy with skulls all over her clothes or whatever, because she was coming out with the people who would have said they were for gender-affirming care, in air quotes. So there were plenty of people who were dressed in very many creative ways, and there was considerable commotion over the weeks in the Capitol. In fact, the gallery had to be cleared and arrests were made because of the boisterousness, to be polite, soft, of the transgender community, or if we can call it a community. But anyway, those people who are protesting on the other side. But it turns out that the legislature decided to pass the ban on sexual mutilation of minors, which I do believe is certainly the will of the vast majority of people in this state. So, good, one good report. Why it should have had to happen, you know, because they have been able to do these surgeries since, what, 1970? As I was 17, 18, working, just now working, when I first heard of somebody who surgically became the opposite sex. But now it's coming to the fore because we're in a tsunami of sewage. And now is the time. Okay, so it's time to decide. Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? That's a union organizer's song. But it is true that today we have to make a decision. So are we going to make a decision for Christ, for Christ's body, for our family, for our children, for our progeny? And I know you will. I know you will. I don't have to say rare breed. God is bringing a rare breed. But I do want to inspire you with hope that you can. You can pray for the 10 minutes. You can pray for your children. I know sometimes it's discouraging when you look at the situation. But let's turn our eyes to Jesus, the resurrected one. Let us turn our eyes to Jerusalem, which was once raised and is R-A-Z-E-D, and now is raised R-A-I-S-E-D. Let's turn our eyes to Jerusalem and to Israel, where it was once a howling wilderness with a few goats, and now the people have returned. Long-standing promises who have been fulfilled, which have been fulfilled. So let us remember the great promise that we listen under, and let us now pray under. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord. So that word benade in Hebrew, offspring, means your children and your grandchildren, your progeny. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord. The great God who created this earth, who gave us the law, who sent us his son to die and raise again for us, in whom we live, should be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
I will put Dr. Simon Okwayo's contact information in the show notes, but you may email him at pastorokwayo@yahoo.com. Pastor O-K-W-A-Y-O at yahoo.com. And of course, he's got a WhatsApp, as most people do, from Africa. Okay, and I'll put all of that in the show notes. And I encourage you to support his evangelistic ministries in the States, and most especially in the slums of Kenya. Now, I am working on something new. We need to rescue a lot of kids, no question. And I'm not the first person who said we need to take our kids out of the government school. But I'm also not the only person who's ever said not everybody can homeschool. And I have certainly put out some free content to help you with homeschooling. And certainly you can go over to www.orgstrat.net for organizational strategies, where I have done teacher training for many years. And you can get some consulting help from me. Yes, but what if we started a lot of schools? Well, starting a school is a big deal. Yes, but what about if there was an easy way to start a small school? Well, guess what? There is. And I'm going to tell you about that. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of resources. And so I am putting together a packet. And I was thinking to do this face-to-face and hope to do it face-to-face in my region. But I don't know, if I had staff, they would say, Sharon, stop, you don't have time to do this. But anyway, I'm going to send you a packet. All you have to do is email me at info@greatshalom.org and ask for the rescue packet. And it will go through. There'll be questions so you can sort through. Can we homeschool? Can we do a micro school? Can we do a big school, a regular K through 12 school? And then point you in the direction that may be helpful for you. Okay? So email me at info@greatshalom for a free packet, the rescue packet. Okay, and now I bless you in the mighty, matchless, most powerful name of Jesus, the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. May you always feel the engine of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And may you know it's there even if you don't feel it. So that when you are most discouraged, when you are most upset, when you are most hypnotized and paralyzed, you remember that that is the work of the serpent, whose head will be crushed by the woman and the woman's seed. Yes, so Jesus finished work on the cross. All we have to do is apply it, and we can pray, and we have the most wonderful partner in that prayer, the Holy Spirit, as it says in Romans 8. So I bless you with that memory that we are not alone. Jesus has won the victory, and we will apply it through prayer, praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. We got two-thirds of the Trinity there, and we've got the Creator and Judge of all. So I think we've got a quorum. All right. Be blessed. Have a great summer, and let's come out roaring to rescue a lot of children in the new school year. Grandmother Prayer Army, Mothering Army. Amen.